Today, we're joined by pulmonologist Dr. Viren Kaul, a critical care medicine specialist. Dr. Kaul is passionate about helping those who have breathing and lung issues such as COPD, asthma, and other conditions, and he's very concerned about the growing trend of teens as well as adults who are vaping or using e-cigarettes. This is Krause HealthCast. I'm Aileen Ellis, and today we're talking about this escalating public health problem. Welcome, Dr. Kaul. So, Dr. Kaul, let's start with the basics. What is vaping exactly?
Vaping is this act of inhaling and exhaling an aerosol. Most commonly, it's a vapor. Using a device like an e-cigarette, or commonly one of the commercial devices called Juuls, or mods, or pods. So different devices, but essentially inhaling and exhaling a vapor.
And the CDC reports that there's been an outbreak of lung injuries and deaths associated with vaping. So what about e-cigarette use, and how is that causing these cases?
So if you look at the most recent data that's come out from the CDC investigation, which, by the way, is available publicly if you Google CDC vaping-associated lung injury. It's a good resource. But if you look up there, most of the cases, 82% cases, have been associated with THC-containing products. And a significant amount have also been associated with vitamin E acetate. So these are the sort of products that have been found to be injurious in most of this recent rash of cases.
And what happens when you do this and this substance comes into your lungs?
So I like saying this, that the lungs are designed to essentially just process air that we breathe regularly. And then in some cases, inhalers if you're on treatment. But other than that, any other extraneous substance, the lungs are not designed to process that. So just accordingly, so when you smoke these substances or you smoke cigarettes, or anything that's extraneous, they don't do well, they get injured. And when they get injured, you get symptoms. Depending on what's causing injury, it can even lead to the point of requiring a tube to breathe, being that sick.
So if vaping is marketed as a way to quit smoking, what is so dangerous about this process physically in comparison to smoking?
So I think the key word here is the marketed part. It is marketed that way. It is not FDA approved as a quitting tool. Initially, there was a thought that this would be a safe alternative to quitting cigarettes. And if you look at most medical studies, they're designed for adults who are quitting smoking and for them to try vaping instead. There's a recent study from NEJM that shows actually adults that do go that route, a significant amount of them continue actually then vaping at the end of a year. So essentially, they're just exchanging one sort of toxic thing for the other. There is no study on these devices being used in teens and children. So I don't even think it's fair to say that they're quitting products to start with. And then in the current demographic that's seeing this rash of cases, is definitely not applicable.
So can you become addicted to vaping just in the same way that you might to traditional tobacco products?
Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, vaping products, a majority of them, more than 90% of them, have nicotine. And nicotine is the same addicting substance that is also in cigarettes. So to be specific, it's 98.7%. So that's pretty much every product, right? What's scary to me is they surveyed teens who vape to ask them if they understood what they're inhaling. And 66% teens thought that they were inhaling just flavors and water vapor. So you can see where the disconnect is, right? And how it's a problem.
And what are the long and the short-term effects of vaping? Like, let's start with the short-term effects. Do you notice right away that you're doing something to your lungs?
So short-term effects, talking about with a single puff, you don't feel anything probably. But eventually, within days and, in next few weeks, if you keep vaping significant amounts, it's been shown that it can exacerbate bronchitis, it can cause worsen asthma, people start coughing, it can cause shortness of breath, depending on what it is that you're inhaling, right? So it's like any other irritant for the lung. In the long term, vaping can cause a number of different things. So I'll start with something that is not directly obvious. So the Surgeon General has made a strong point of talking about this. In young growing brains, nicotine can cause the sort of hindrance to growth up to 25 years of age. And that to me is significantly concerning because that's the population that these vaping products are being directed towards. Other than that, there's increasing amount of data showing that long-term exposure to vaping products can cause exacerbation of any number of lung diseases, from chronic bronchitis, you know, worsening of asthma, and such.
And then you mentioned the fact that some people even need a tube to breathe.
So that is the recent rash of cases that we were discussing earlier. With this, some vaping products come with cartridges that cannot be changed. However, a lot of people can then change the fluid, the juice, as it's called, inside these cartridges. And if you smoke something that's quote-unquote off the street, for example, these THC-containing products, they are really harmful to the lung. So this recent rash of cases, we saw people who got so sick that a number of them actually passed away, which is the scary part. And then a number of them required a breathing tube. In fact, there's one case which received a lot of media attention where a young person had to get both their lungs transplanted because that's how badly their lungs were damaged.
We're talking about damage that doesn't necessarily heal itself.
So depending on the severity, some people will recover once they stop using these products. But like we said, some of them can be pretty life-threatening. And so the damage there is pretty catastrophic.
So why do you think that vaping is so particularly attractive to teenagers?
I think it's a little bit of a mix of two things. One, it is like any other product. For a teenager, it's curiosity. It's something that, you know, their colleagues are using, they see adults using. So it starts with that. But the bigger aspect of it is how these products are being marketed by companies that make these products. In fact, Juul was specifically, for example, advised by FDA to change the way they're targeting their ads, because they were, you know, ads with nice colors showing these happy teens enjoying this vape as if it's a great thing. So it's the advertisement, right? They're directed to attract teenagers.
And the flavors, too.
So talking about the flavors, I think that to me is, it's scary how we are targeting and a vulnerable population at every level, right? So it's visual with the ads. Then it starts with what kind of flavors you have out there, creme brulee or bubblegum flavored vape. It's almost something that sounds innocuous, right? So yes, the flavors, the packaging, the advertisements, where they're sold, the fact that in a lot of states they can be sold to anybody of any age. So all of that, these aspects are designed for vaping to be attractive to teenagers.
So what kind of advice do you have about talking to our kids about vaping? Because they're seeing their friends do it, they have adults who are doing it, and it's marketed as a safe alternative to smoking.
My thought on this is that whenever we approach another person and we want to talk about a topic that's sensitive, the best thing to do it is to do it in a non-confrontational way, sort of be conversational. I truly believe nobody likes to be judged. I personally don't like to be judged. So approaching it in a manner that is not threatening, one. The next is maybe bring up the conversation in a context that's not accusatory, right? So if you see an ad for vaping, you know, maybe using that as a hedge to start the conversation, or you see some other gentleman or person on the street vaping, using that as a conversation starter. So that those are good ways to start the conversation, to hold them. The second thing is to be a good example yourself. So nothing influences kids like the people in their lives. So if they see adults around them vaping, they see their friends or family members vaping, that then it becomes really hard to, you know, sort of tell them not to do the same thing. The other thing that I've found pretty helpful is to be well-informed yourself. So before having a conversation, reading up about what it is about, what are the products, what are the different devices, understanding why it is bad, and not in an emotional manner, but more in an informed manner. So you can talk to them like adults. So share data accurately instead of, you know, giving emotional sort of responses. And lastly is answer their questions. So if they have questions, have that conversation so that we can educate them rather than just saying, just don't do this. It's bad for your lungs. So those are my tips, at least, for getting it started.
And what about signs that parents should look for that their kids might be vaping?
So some of the things that I've noticed, for example, a lot of these devices need charging. So if you see that your teen or your child has charging ports or wires that you don't know what they're using it for, so that's one thing to look out for. Simple things like they're running out of money, because these devices can be pretty expensive to fill and refill. So if they're running out of spending money more frequently than before, that's a something to keep in mind. Now, a lot of people wonder if, do you smell something on them? So unlike smoking cigarettes, these smells don't hang around. They're pretty fleeting. So if you have a temporary sweet smell in the room, that's another sort of giveaway. In terms of symptoms, a lot of people complain of three types of symptoms. So symptoms that come from the lungs, like cough, shortness of breath, they get winded pretty easily. A common, thing is a super active person who's now not able to keep up with their peers, for example. Those kind of symptoms. The others are that affect your sort of GI tract or your gastrointestinal tract. So dry mouth or loss of taste, something called as vapor's tongue. They're now trying to add flavoring. That's something that is a tell. They have more diarrhea, they're losing weight, something to, those are other things to look out for. And lastly is changed sleep patterns. Very vague symptoms, but changed sleep patterns or tiredness more than usual. These are the things that you can look out for. Now, I've also had some teens that I've seen who've had nosebleeds from these.
And finally, what kind of resources are there in the community for parents and teens that can tell us more about vaping?
I would recommend three things to sort of read or look out for. They're freely available online. So the first is the CDC's website. Like I said, you can Google it. For example, the topic of the main website is outbreak of lung injury associated with the use of e-cigarettes or vaping products. You can Google CDC vaping. They have a fantastic amount of resources for the public. Similarly, FDA has an educational area. The one resource that I found very, very helpful is the Surgeon General's product. So the Surgeon General has created, their office has created this little pamphlet. It's a few pages, but it summarizes all the information accurately and give sort of some tips on how to approach the situation when discussing vaping with your teens.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think I have two messages. One is for the teens who might be vaping. I would say that, this is not something that we are going to be judgmental about. It's an ongoing conversation. So please always reach out to colleagues, to peers, to family members who you trust. Or if you want to just do it privately, speak to a physician. At least get the conversation going and maybe we can figure out what we can do to help. For the parents, for the adults who are working with their teens on this issue, I would say be informed. Reach out to other professionals if you need to. And sometimes it might be helpful to just back off from the conversation and maybe bring in a family member that the teen trusts. So that is a strategy that I employ if you don't think that approaching your teen directly is going to be helpful.
That's all the time we have for today. Dr. Viren Kaul is a pulmonologist and critical care medicine specialist at Krauss Medical Practice. He invites you to visit krausconnects.org/vaping to learn more, and he's welcoming new patients at Krauss Medical Practice. For an appointment, please call 315-701-2550 or visit krausmed.com. I'm Aileen Ellis. Thanks for listening.